Welcome to the Hannah Miller Show. And here she is, Hannah Miller.
Outspokenly conservative and unashamedly Christian, this is Hannah Miller, and this is what happened this week. Woo! So, I know it's been a few weeks since I was here, and we're just going to dive right in and pretend that Christmas and New Year's didn't even happen. I hope you had a wonderful Christmas. Hope you had a wonderful New Year's. I don't have much to say about what happened during those weeks. Had some great time with my family. But as far as what's been happening on the political or in the political world and what culturally and blah, 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 I'm really going to just dive right into the last week because there's been a question that's being posed to presidential candidates that I want to talk about because I think it tells us a lot about them. And I also want to give all of us a history lesson. And so we're going to just dive right into that. And as time passes, if there's something over the last couple of weeks that you'd like to hear me respond to, please feel free to reach out. You can do that Instagram, Facebook, email, all of the things. You can reach out via my producer, Bob at bobsloan.com, and he directs questions to me. That's a great way to reach out. So anyway, let's get right to it. So if you want me to cover anything, though, that's happened over the last 2 weeks, those are great ways to reach out to me and ask and say, hey, I'd like to hear you comment on these things, and I'd love to do that. But we're just going to kind of go to this last week and proceed as normal because trying to cover all the other information all the other weeks would just be very time-consuming. And this is already going to be a long enough podcast, fair warning. So the question that's being asked to presidential candidates. Some are saying this question came from either a plant from the Democrats or from a GOP rival, and either one of those may be true, but I also find this to be a fantastic litmus test, all right? It determines whether a candidate knows their history and is willing to stand by the truth or whether they only know a political talking point, or maybe they do know the truth but are unwilling to articulate it. All right, now, what was the question? Someone asked Nikki Haley during a recent town hall in Berlin, New Hampshire, what has become the new, quote, gotcha question for GOP political candidates, which is this: what caused the Civil War? Nikki was obviously caught flat-footed because anyone with two brain cells rubbing together would know that question is a trap with death spikes at the bottom. I don't know, maybe two brain cells rubbing together, maybe that was a little harsh. But in today's racially charged climate, there's only one acceptable answer, which is the despicable, deplorable, never happened to any other country for all of human history blot on the United States' past, which is the American slave trade. And you got to make sure you call it the American slave trade because you wouldn't want to accidentally implicate any African countries of participating in slavery in your answer. Got it? Well, what was Nikki's answer? Mostly a rambling non-answer. And she started off saying, well, don't come at me with easy questions. And then she proceeds to say, I think the cause of the Civil War was basically how government was going to run, the freedoms and what people could and couldn't do. And she kind of went downhill from there. I think it comes down to the role of government and what the rights of the people are, and I will always stand by the fact that I think government was intended to secure the rights and freedoms of the people. It was never meant to be all things to all people. Government doesn't need to tell you how to live your life. They don't need to tell you what you can and can't do. They don't need to be a part of your life. They need to make sure that you have freedom. We need to have capitalism. We need to have economic freedom. We need to make sure we do all things so that individuals have the liberties, so that they can have freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom to do or be anything they want to be without government getting in the way. What? What? Okay, she kind of played footsie with a bit of an answer here, but clearly was not an actual answer to the question, what caused the Civil War? I mean, you know, when she says it comes down to the role of the government and what the rights of the people are. Okay, but the answers that she gave could pertain to any war at any time, pretty much in any country. So, you know, it really was a non-answer. And of course, Nikki's questioner was not satisfied with this answer and responded with, "In the year 2023, it's astonishing to me that you answer that question without mentioning the word slavery," he said. And then she replied, "What do you want me to say about slavery?" And the clip went viral. Of course. Then, at another event, Nikki retreated, now officially offending those on either side of the issue. She said, "Of course the Civil War was about slavery," she said at another town hall. "We know that. That's unquestioned. Always the case." Well, we don't know that, and it's not always unquestioned, but please, Nikki, proceed. And she followed this, and there's a little bit of a long quote, but I want to give you everything she said. I'm going to try to be, I try to be very precise so that you hear exactly what people said, and I know that I'm not misconstruing what they say. So this is her response. "We know the Civil War was about slavery, but it was also more than that. It was about the freedoms of every individual. It was about the role of government. For 80 years, America had the decision and the moral question of whether slavery was a good thing and whether government, economically, culturally, any other reasons, had a role to play in that. By the grace of God, we did the right thing and slavery is no more. But the lessons of what that bigger issue with the Civil War are is that let's not forget what came out of that, which is government's role, individual liberties, freedom for every single person, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom to do and be anything you want to be without anyone or government getting in your way." Really? Was that the result? That should be the goal of what we always try and take away from that. Right. Because we never want to return back to that place, but we always want to remember the lesson of what it means to be a free individual and that everyone deserves to be a free individual. So we stand by that. I say that as a Southerner. I say that as a Southern governor who removed the Confederate flag off the State House grounds. And I say that as a proud American of how far we have come. End quote. And I can't believe she brought up the Confederate flag issue from here in South Carolina. It was such a controversial move on her part at the time. She shouldn't be reminding people of it, but she was obviously stumbling around on this answer and just really wanted to be able to say, you know, "I remove the Confederate flag. I am an anti-racist." Like, that's just, you know, the penultimate way to prove and get her little badge of being an anti-racist. Like, that was it. And that's, of course, why she threw it out. And look, I don't, you know, I'm not really picking up the vibe that she's got a lot of support here in South Carolina. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but I just don't hear or hear a lot of people really talking about her and supporting her. And she's dropping quickly because of, you know, because of this and other things that she said in Iowa recently, and I'm not hearing a lot of people rushing out to defend her. So in my opinion, the death knell has pealed out long and clear, loud and clear, over the Haley presidential campaign. Okay? I think there's other things that have happened that have done it, but this as well, and then offending Iowans with basically, or New Hampshire, what was it? Yeah, Iowa, with saying to New Hampshire, you know, Iowa's going to do what they're going to do, and then New Hampshire's going to fix their mistakes. Something like that. I don't know. Don't quote me on all that. But anyway, she said something that offended them. And I don't really pay attention a whole lot to the campaign of all of these guys, because we all know that it's going to come down to Donald Trump and probably Ron DeSantis. Although he's not really shining bright on the campaign trail, which has been very interesting to me, because I thought he would do better than he has, because he certainly did better during COVID-19 and all of those press conferences and all of that than he has recently. But anyway, not that he's done like terrible. He's not been bombing or anything. He just kind of hasn't shown as brightly. Anyway, before dissecting her response anymore, though, let's discuss what other candidates have said. And like I said, the reason we're going through this, even though I think it's kind of a foregone conclusion about who the primary is really going to come down to, this tells us a little bit more about each candidate and that we're going to talk about today and who's kind of responded to this thing. And then I want to, like I said, give us a little bit of a history lesson on this. So Joe Biden, he shared Nikki's viral clip over on X, on Twitter, with the caption, "It was about slavery." All right? So we know what Biden believes. Despite the fact Delaware, Biden's home state, was a slave state throughout the Civil War. But no one wants to point that fact out. A fact which is enough to label any political opposition as racist, but is not enough to label Biden the same. Despite his, "if you don't vote for me, you ain't black" rhetoric. But I digress. Then we have Ron DeSantis. He gave the politically correct talking point and even threw in a common Republican talking point. He said, "Of course you have the issue of slavery. They viewed it as a state's rights issue, not as a federal issue, and they were concerned. This Republican president may come in and get rid of the institution of slavery." You know, it's interesting, because the Republican Party was founded to put a stop to the growth of slavery in this country, and the abolition of slavery was, to this day, remains the party's top achievement. And it was a partisan achievement, because the people that were fighting Lincoln, the people that wanted to preserve slavery, they were Democrats. And so the Republican Party did that, and that's something that you should acknowledge and be proud of as a Republican, end quote. To sum up, DeSantis said the Civil War was about slavery, but specifically as it pertained to a state's right to preserve slavery. He also championed Lincoln as a Republican who, quote, freed the slaves despite the Democrat Party's wishes. This has become a very common Republican talking point, and even one I've made before. And while on the surface it is true, it's not an entirely accurate depiction of history. Remember, I'm not here to defend my guy or my party. I'm not going to stump for any of these guys if I think they're being dishonest. I'm here to defend the truth. More on Lincoln in a moment. Chris Christie commented on Haley's response at a campaign event in New Hampshire on Wednesday, saying it indicates she prioritizes appeasing different political constituents over, quote, telling the truth, end quote. "What's the truth? Please tell us, Chris Christie." And he said, if she is unwilling to stand up and say that slavery is what caused the Civil War because she's afraid of offending constituents in other parts of the country, what's going to happen when she has to stand up to Vladimir Putin and President Z? His final point is valid. What is she going to do if she's afraid of offending constituents? But his answer to the question was inaccurate, so he was both inaccurate and irrelevant. Next. Lastly, Vivek Ramaswamy. At the campaign event in Iowa, an audience member asked Ramaswamy the same question that was posed to Haley the day before, but also tacked on a second question. If we're headed in another, asking, quote, if we're headed to another one, meaning civil war, possibly. So that was the second part of the question in addition to what caused the Civil War. Ramaswamy laughed and said, quote, "You know, you have a governor of South Carolina who doesn't know much about the history of her own state," end quote. Before we go any further, I actually think that Nikki Haley probably knew the correct answer to this, but knew that it would sink her. And that's why she had a hard time answering this, is because she was trying to maneuver her way around speaking the actual truth and was having a hard time doing it. I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to assume that she actually, as governor, a previous governor of South Carolina, knew the history, and that's why she stumbled around trying to answer. It's because it's hard to know all of that truth and having it and then remember, oh, what's the political talking point? What's the politically correct talking point that I'm supposed to give? And I think that's where she got caught, is that she probably does know the truth, but she knew she couldn't say it. And so she forgot what she was supposed to say. So anyway, back to Ramaswamy. He continued saying, but South Carolina in 1832, it's one of the things we learned in history class in 11th grade. They actually were going to secede from the Union. We're talking nearly a couple decades before the Civil War. Okay, why is that relevant? He never really says. This comes back to the present. He continued, our history isn't about our past, it's about our understanding of our future. Okay, I can see maybe where he's trying to go with this. You know, we want to understand the history, our history, so we can understand our future. So they actually, continuing on, in 1832, were about to secede. Back then, it was about tariffs between the North and South, but ultimately the thing that boiled us over was slavery. Vivek explained, Vivek explained how even though the United States was one single country at the time, the North and the South had value systems that were fundamentally different. And he continued by saying, so the powder keg was in the air, slavery was the match that we lit that caused it to boil over, he said. Ramaswamy compared the differing value systems to what he believes exists in the U.S. today. He ended his response by explaining the necessity of having a president, quote, from the outside, who isn't, quote, susceptible to the special interests that got us to where we are, end quote. He also added that the future president should be someone from the next generation. All things that conveniently he is. or he would at least like us to think whether he is or not. And so, in summary, Vivek said the war was about tariffs. Slavery was the tipping point, and ultimately, it was because of the fundamentally different value systems between the North and the South. Here's the thing. Despite my reservations regarding Vivek's religious and pharmaceutical background, I kind of really want to like him. I really do. He's just so likable. He says things that are just so philosophically true. And you just want to be like, yeah, and he's just a nice guy. And he never loses his temper, and he's always responds, it seems very clearly. He's just a good communicator, and we're just, you know, coming off the heels of Joe Biden, who can't string two sentences together, and Donald Trump, who's so juvenile. It's a breath of fresh air. But here's the thing. I think Vivek's response to this particular question is a perfect example of so much of his rhetoric. Of all the responses, Vivek's was the most true. But he communicated the truth with ambiguity, without exactness, accuracy, clarity. Pick any of those. Whether because he's trying to politically maneuver or because he's ignorant, I can't say, but I lean towards deception simply because it's difficult to speak that much truth with unintentional obscurity. You get what I'm saying? It would be difficult to say all of the things that he said without clearly stating the truth. It would have to be unintentional. I mean, it would have to be intentional. It would have to be intentional. So, let me explain. Yes, slavery was the tipping point. But in starting the war or ending the war, Vivek doesn't clarify. And his quote, it makes me think that he's saying it was, you know, in 1832. If you really look at what he's saying, in 1832... you know, South Carolina was about to secede. Back then, it was about tariffs between the North and South. But ultimately, the thing that boiled us over was slavery. So it seems like he's saying, but, you know, when the Civil War actually started, it was started because of slavery. Because back in 1832, it was about tariffs. He never really says clearly, though. And yes, the North and the South had different value systems, but about what? Slavery or agricultural tariffs? Vivek doesn't clarify that either. As they stand, literally everyone agrees with Vivek's statements. We would all say there were different value systems. We would all say that slavery was a tipping point. But in what ways exactly? But Vivek never gave an exact answer, which would have solidly placed him in one political, or rather historical, factually accurate camp or the other. Vivek's rhetoric is amazingly smooth. It's incredibly compelling. And that's a tool that can be used for either unification, as Ronald Reagan did, or division, as Barack Obama did. Let's get back to Nikki Haley's response, because I want to give a brief history lesson. First, the Civil War wasn't about slavery, nor the freedoms of every individual. It's about states' rights. And if you don't agree that it was about states' rights, I would ask you to provide an answer as to what it was about when Lincoln himself was diametrically opposed to freeing the slaves. Lincoln's principal reason for waging the Civil War, and you're going to have to hang with me because I know a lot of people, they disagree with all this, but I don't care if people disagree and I don't care about being controversial and none of that matters to me. What matters to me is the truth. And this is the truth as I understand it. And so Lincoln's principal reason for waging the Civil War was for the Southern states to remain in the Union. Here is Lincoln in a letter to Horace Greeley of the New York Tribune, who had complained that Lincoln had not announced emancipation in 1862. And this is what Lincoln said. "I would save the Union. I would save it the shortest way under the Constitution. The sooner the national authority can be restored, the nearer the Union will be the Union as it was. If there be those who would not save the Union unless they could at the same time save slavery, I do not agree with them. If there be those who would not save the Union unless they could at the same time destroy slavery, I do not agree with them." And this is the part you need to hear. "My paramount object in this struggle is to save the Union, and it is not either to save or to destroy slavery. If I could save the Union without freeing any slave, I would do it. And if I could save it by freeing all the slaves, I would do it. And if I could save it by freeing some and leaving others alone, I would also do that. What I do about slavery and the colored race, I do because I believe it helps to save this Union. And what I forbear because I do not believe it would help to save the Union. I shall do less whenever I shall believe what I am doing hurts the cause, and I shall do more whenever I shall believe doing more will help the cause." And there it is, folks. The bottom line, I would save the Union. As R. Court Kirkwood stated in a recent article, quote, "Ending slavery only became a war measure in 1863, when Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation in the hope that slaves would rebel in the South. The proclamation, which also permitted Lincoln to disingenuously claim that the war's object was ending slavery, did not touch slavery in the North." End quote. Look, if ending slavery was the objective, why exclude northern states? And why not declare emancipation long before 1863? Perhaps, just as we see happening today, a politician was simply using war and people's lives for their own political objective. In Lincoln's case, keeping the Union together. Furthermore, Lincoln supported the Corwin Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, which would have protected the state's, quote, "domestic institutions," end quote. What does that mean? Meaning slavery. The Corwin Amendment was proposed on March 2, 1861, shortly before the outbreak of the American Civil War, with the intent of preventing that war and preserving the Union. Last point regarding Lincoln on this topic. In 1858, during his fourth debate with Stephen Douglas, Lincoln clearly said he did not believe whites and blacks could live together in harmony. This is what he said. "I will say then that I am not, nor ever have been, in favor of bringing about in any way the social and political equality of the white and black races, that I am not, nor ever have been, in favor of making voters or jurors of Negroes, nor of qualifying them to hold office, nor to intermarry with white people." And then he continued, "And I will say in addition to this that there is a physical difference between the white and black races, which I believe will forever forbid the two races living together on terms of social and political equality. And inasmuch as they cannot so live, while they do remain together, there must be the position of superior and inferior. And I, as much as any other man, am in favor of having the superior position assigned to the white race." Well, beloved Republican, freed the slaves Lincoln was a racist and a white supremacist. Who knew? Now you do. So back to the question. What caused the Civil War? According to Lincoln himself, it wasn't about slavery or equality of the races, but rather to preserve the Union. What did he mean by that? Well, a lot, and more than we have time to get into today. But he very clearly stated slavery wasn't a part of the decision. Lincoln wanted to preserve a strong central government, thereby weakening state sovereignty, thereby eroding states' rights. I recommend books by Thomas DiLorenzo and Company H by Sam Watkins if you want to study up on the topic to more fully understand what Lincoln meant by preserve the Union. But to answer the question of the week, I think I'll go by Lincoln's own words versus a 21st century history book, politician, or activist journalist. And it certainly didn't have anything to do with slavery.
Thank you for listening to The Hannah Miller Show. Please remember to subscribe to this podcast. This podcast is produced by Bob Sloan Audio Productions. If you'd like to find out more about Hannah or to schedule her for a speaking event, go to her website, thehannahmillershow.com.